Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Tuesday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. We are live from the Auction Community Studios. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Bernsie, what's going on?
I want to thank you. Yes. My printer wants to thank you.
Oh, I saved you some paper,
The environment would like to thank you for taking your...
I care about the environment.
22-page email from a day ago and shrinking it down to six pages.
Yeah, 6 pages. Less is more. Less is more.
If you missed it yesterday... We email each other show ideas every day, and Gambo's email yesterday was like 11 pages long. I printed it. It took forever to print. So, Gambo, we're 2 minutes away from going on the air today. So how many pages was my email today?
I just wanted to know.
Mike, I didn't print it today. I didn't get around to print, so I just checked. It was 6 pages today.
I was going to say, you know what I did last night? I joined the Cliff Kingsbury Club of Recommendations on TV shows.
White Lotus?
I did.
Did you watch White Lotus?
I watched 2 episodes.
What'd you think?
It's a train wreck. My God, all these people that are just miserable lives.
They are.
I hate everybody on this show.
I know.
I hate every single character. Stifler's mom's on the show. I'm like, that's Stifler's mom. Stifler's mom, she's a train wreck.
There is not.
The young married couple, train wreck.
There's not one likable character on the show.
Not one.
There's not one likable character on the show.
The guy running a hotel, train wreck. Like, there's nobody. They're all miserable.
Everybody's miserable.
Everybody.
Wait, what did you just play there, Jordan? What was
that? If you want to board on a little bit later, we got a seat. Just like Ray said, we got a seat for you.
I'm like, all right, I'll give it an episode. I watched the first one. I go, what do you think, Chelsea? She goes, all right, let's give it another one. I gave it a second one. I'm like, I'll watch it through now. But I'm like, I hate everybody. I hate you. I hate every character on the show. I hate the son. I hate the daughter. I hate the daughter's friend. I hate Stifler's mom. I hate everybody on this show. It's not a show that you could like a character.
You don't like
everybody's miserable.
The young wife, the newlywed wife, she seems to be like the nicest person on the show. But I'm only 3 episodes in. She seems like she's the kindest person on the show. But I can't tell. She seems decent.
I think I said that to some point at Chelsea. She's probably the only one that seems somewhat normal. But then look who she married.
That's true. She married, like every other character on the show.
I'm trying to figure out who died, because I don't know.
Yeah, somebody died. Well, no, and that's not a spoiler alert. That's like the very first scene of the show.
Somebody dies,
and we just don't know who's in the casket.
We're not quite sure.
We assume, but we don't know for sure.
We don't know for sure.
Hey, good for you for giving something a try.
So when we have Cliff on next week, we got something to talk. Hey, Cliff!
We'll talk White Lotus with him.
White Lotus, baby. What do you think?
I'm sure he'll appreciate that.
Cliff.
Let's weigh in at our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo, the weigh-in. Brought to you by Revitalize Weight Loss.
The Alliance, as it's come to be known as... is now official. The ACC, the Big Ten, and the Pac-12 combining forces.
Singing Kumbaya together, baby.
It's like when the Avengers came together for the first time to battle Loki in New York City. Did they win? Yes, they won.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, the Avengers won in the very first Avengers movie. Spoiler alert, the Avengers win in every movie.
Listen, I don't know what to think about this. I really don't. Schedules are made so far in advance. I think ASU's got games scheduled until 2047. They got games scheduled until I'm dead. Like, I'll be like, that's how far out they schedule these games.
2033 is the latest scheduled game that ASU has.
Right, that's insanity.
That's since 2033. They're scheduled to play Texas at Texas on September 10th.
Oh, they're going to play an SEC school.
That would mean that the kids that are going to be playing in that game are 6 years old now.
That's right.
Hey, mamas, papas, your son... right there could be playing in that ASU Texas game.
I like the let's gang up and try to, you know, one over the SEC, because if the SEC is just their power and their reach, and I like that. I like being able to box the SEC in to a position of we're not going to help you. The only problem is, like, that's so far down the road because of all these games. That look, ASU's got Texas scheduled. ASU's got other SEC games scheduled.
ASU's got a ton of SEC. So, okay.
Right, and they're not going to cancel those games.
Here's Kevin Warren, one of the big three commissioners in this. We will honor our current schedule contracts despite this new alliance among the three of us.
We promise each other is that we're not going to interfere with any existing contracts that exist. So this is not about getting out of contracts and blowing anything up. This is about honoring those existing contracts, but also building relationships between these three like-minded conferences as we look forward from a scheduling standpoint, not only in football, but in women's and men's basketball, and also in Olympic sports, and to see if there's opportunity to build early season, mid-season tournaments or unique games that will come together.
So you're right, sticking it to the SEC. I'm just looking at ASU's schedule.
We're going to stick it to you in 15 years.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah, 2034, we got you. We're going to get you, SEC. I mean, it's just
2024, ASU's playing Mississippi State. 2025, okay. They're at Mississippi State. 2026, at A&M. 27, Texas A&M's here. Then they've got Florida in 2028, LSU in 29, LSU in 30, Florida again in 31.
And none of those are getting canceled.
None of those.
Do you know by the time they get done with that schedule, 2033, you said?
2033, correct.
Okay. The landscape's going to change again. I can almost assure you that it's not going to look like it is like it does now.
Yeah. You're right. And so what was the biggest thing, I think, to come out of today's alliance? It's not the scheduling element of it, because they were very vague about that. They're not going to break existing contracts. We don't really know what the scheduling is going to look like, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The biggest thing to come out of today's press conference wasn't actually said in today's press conference. Just about everybody believes the whole reason these three entities are teaming up is to make sure that the SEC, that the 12-team playoff doesn't get implemented before the end of the current contract, because if it does, then ESPN's going to get it and no one else is going to be able to bid on it. And these three conferences want to make sure that they will all vote together for the same thing, because their interests are aligned, and they want to make sure that it doesn't just get pushed through, that ESPN's going to get the new playoff and it's going to happen before it's supposed to. They all want to unify their vote. It doesn't have anything to do with scheduling. No, it has everything to do with making sure ESPN doesn't grab the 12-team playoff before it becomes official.
Two things that stood out to me. Four ACC teams have annual games with in-state rivals of the SEC. Those games are going to stick. Clemson, South Carolina, Georgia, Georgia Tech, Florida State, Florida, Louisville, Kentucky. Those games are all going to continue, those in-state rivals. The other thing, to your point, what you just said, the alliance is wary of ESPN, who has exclusive rights to all SEC games starting in 2024, also having full control of the playoff. ESPN has rights to the playoffs through 2025 and an exclusive negotiating window. There's long been a strong feeling within the sport that multiple networks broadcasting the playoffs would be better financially and for exposure. So they're trying to box in not only the SEC, but also the ESPN. And so that way, it's not just everything's dominated by ESPN, and ESPN has the SEC. And if ESPN's always broadcasting the SEC, you know, it's going to benefit the SEC a whole lot with recruiting and everything else, and financially, too. So they want to take control of that back. But it's happening. It's crazy when on paper, that's great. There's an alliance. They're not going to play the SEC. Yeah, they're not going to play them like when the schedules end in like 13 years.
Yeah, it's really hard to know what tangible today's alliance means. If it's not exclusive scheduling, if it's not shutting out the SEC, they don't even. Here's George Kliavkov, the commissioner of the Pac-12. We didn't sign an agreement about poaching teams from these other conferences. We don't need one. We have a gentleman's agreement not to do it.
There's no signed contract. There's an agreement among three gentlemen, and there is a commitment from 41 presidents and chancellors and 41 athletic directors to do what we say we're going to do. If there's any lack of specificity in the press release, it's because we want to make sure we could deliver 100% of what we promised. So we're aligned in how we want to approach this, but there's no contract. There's no signed document, and there doesn't need to be.
So there's no,
what is this, the 1800s?
There's no contract that stops the Big Ten from going to get USC if they want. There's no contract that stops Clemson and Florida State from leaving the ACC and going to the SEC if they want. There's nothing. There's no die. It's just a gentleman's agreement. Okay, yeah, we're not going to do it. Yeah, cool. All right, well, we'll
not
do
even
it.
Not even a pinky promise.
No, not even a pinky promise, no. Which has led some, including Paul Feinbaum, to wonder what exactly the purpose of all of this is. And I got to admit, I'm kind of in the same boat.
What is the purpose of this? You mentioned scheduling. Well, there's already cross-sectional scheduling going on. Yeah, this perhaps will enhance that, but I don't think it's significant. What this really is just a reaction. And it's a reaction to the SEC. It's also a means to stop the 12-team college football playoff. And Key, if there's ever a league that needs 12 teams in the college football playoff, and you know where I'm going here, it's the Pac-12. They can't buy their way in. And if they now stop the progress that seemingly was going on 2 months ago, then where are they going to be?
Yeah, today somebody, I can't remember who it was, called it the most overhyped announcement in the history of college football. What does it mean?
What is it? We're going to align and we're going to... I mean, I know what the game plan is, but like, you can't execute a game plan when you've got all these games against the SEC that people have scheduled for all these years. I just don't. And then, you know, no mention at all in this whole thing about the Big 12, which is going to absolutely collapse. All these, you know, they're not going to be able to pay coach like that Iowa State coach. That guy's he's a great coach.
Yes.
He can't stay there.
Matt Campbell's very, very good.
That was a great coach. He's not going to be able to stay in that conference. They're not going to be able to pay him anymore. What happens to Kansas basketball? Like, what happens to Kansas basketball? Yeah. Like, I am curious to see what happens with the Big 12 schools.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Arizona Cardinals, one more preseason game left on their schedule. Who will be playing in that game is still very much up for debate. We'll talk about that next on the Burns and Gambo show.
It's been a long time. The NFL is back. It's been a long time. Stay tuned for the most Cardinals coverage anywhere on the home of Arizona Cardinals football, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Still an opportunity for you to win something that you can't buy, you can't go to the store and get, you can't go online and find it. The only way you can get one is if you win one, and that is the custom Yeti D-backs coolers from Coors Light. Hugely popular a summer ago, so popular, in fact, the Coors Light said, okay, let's bring it back. Let's do it one more time. Let's roll it back one more summer. Because the Yeti coolers, they're the best. This one has the Coors Light logo on it. It has the D-backs logo on it. It's absolutely guaranteed to look great in your backyard, guaranteed to look great in the back of your truck or in the trunk of your car when you're going to the beach or when you're going to the mountains. And the only way for you to win one is to visit your Coors Light retailer and look for displays on how you can win one. That's the only way for you to get it. And it's going on all summer long, so you still have time to do it. Here's what else is going on all summer long. Summer, we're not close to it being over yet. So when it comes time to chilling over a weekend, going to the mountains, going to the beach, like I talk about, chilling wherever it is you need to get out of this heat, don't forget about Coors Light. And don't forget that Coors Light isn't just Coors Light. The Coors family of brands is enormous. It includes Coors Banquet, the original. It includes Coors Pure, their organic beer, but 92 calories, zero sugar. However you choose to chill this summer, make sure you do chill and make sure you reach for a favorite from your Coors family of brands. And of course, please celebrate responsibly.
Things change over time, like a person's metabolism. So maybe diets and workouts that worked for you in the past just don't do the trick anymore. Hey, it's Vince Murata to tell you about Revitalize and their world-class nutrition team that specializes in kickstarting your metabolism to help you lose weight and improve your overall health. I lost 32 pounds with Revitalize over 3 years ago, and thousands of Bickley and Murata listeners have similar success stories. Imagine having more energy and sleeping better. Many Revitalize clients have been able to get off meds for things like blood pressure, diabetes, and cholesterol. Revitalize wants to show you their cutting-edge technology and teach you about a customized approach for you to lose fat and lose weight effectively. And they want to offer you a 55% savings on your initial weight loss consultation, whether it's in person or a virtual appointment. Revitalize is also a proud nutrition partner of the Western Conference champion Phoenix Suns. Schedule your initial weight loss consultation at a 55% savings by calling Revitalize today at 480-435-3557 or online at revitalizeweightloss.com.
Here today, visiting once again with Robert Miguel, chairman of the Akchin Indian community. And Robert, it's so great to have you back.
Good day to all of you.
Chairman Miguel, what specific enterprise do you feel best represents the legacy of Akchin?
Everybody identifies, of course, the entertainment aspects of it, from Southern Dunes to the entertainment center in Harrah's. But, you know, our farming community is who we are as Ogden people, and we've been able to provide a lot of crops and produce to produce statewide and nationally. We're very, very proud of our farming enterprise because we can always step back and look at ways of remembering who we are as Ogden people. And that's our farming. We are very blessed to be able to have great leaders and former community members who are no longer here with us that have laid down that foundation for us to continue. Yeah.
Such an incredible heritage. Thank you, Chairman Miguel.
Like we always say, we all win with Ok Chin.
Have you wanted to speak a new language but thought it'd be too difficult or take too much time? Then try Babbel. In just 15 minutes a day, Babbel teaches you conversations that you will actually use. With 14 languages and lesson topics like travel, business, relationships, and more, you'll learn what matters most to you. Babbel. Language for life. Learn a new language with ease. Go to Babbel.com to try for free. That's Babbel.com.
Burns and Gambo.
Let's say sauce.
I'm a saucier. What's a saucier? Specialize in sauces.
Gambo's gonna work as sauces. I don't say that.
The Burns and Gambo Show, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Kyler Murray, will he play in Game 3 of the preseason, the final?
I'm sure Cliff gave a definitive answer today as to whether that's going to happen or not, right? I'm sure Cliff came right out and said exactly what's going to happen.
I will let you decide if this qualifies as decisive.
Not sure yet.
Does he need any more?
No.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to say this. That was actually a somewhat decisive answer from Cliff.
He doesn't need any more.
The second half of that answer tells me he's not playing. Now, I'm not reporting that. I don't know that for a fact. I'm just going off a good old gut instinct and intuition.
I buy what you're saying.
But the weight,
does he need any more?
No.
How many starting quarterbacks have not played a preseason game so far? Is it 10?
8.
I thought it was 10.
Maybe it was 10. Hold on. I'm looking at the tweet I sent you. It's 10. You're right.
10. Okay.
Here are the names. Rodgers, Ryan, Stafford, Wilson, Tannehill.
Wilson!
I did the same thing in my mind, by the way. Derek Carr, Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, Daniel Jones, Justin Herbert. 10 notable starting quarterbacks. I think there are even more than that. Those are just the ones that ESPN could fit on the graphic on the screen that I took a screenshot of. And as we mentioned yesterday, it's all across the board. It's Aaron Rodgers who's going into his 17th season. It's Justin Herbert who's going into his second. There's no, like, pattern. There's no seniority. There's no, hey, you've been in the year X number of years. Yeah, don't worry about it. We don't need to play you. We have Herbert in his second year, Jones in his third, Mayfield and Allen in their fourth. They're not playing a lick this preseason, so it's not based off of how many years you've been in the league. I got at least 10 guys who haven't done it so far, and I bet there are more that I just haven't. I'm forgetting
I'd
about.
I'd probably play the Cliff. Play the Cliff comment again, please.
Not sure yet.
Does he need any more?
No.
He's not playing. I got a car payment on it. I'll go car payment.
You're gonna go car payment?
Car payment. He's not playing.
No.
Just that kid.
No. He doesn't need it. Scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't need it. He doesn't.
He's not playing.
Yeah, I
would be. Yeah, I. Come on. I don't think he's gonna play.
Probably not.
And he's probably right. He doesn't need it. What's it? What are you going to put? Listen, you're so worried about him not getting hurt, so you're not going to put him out there for any long period of time. What's six throws going to do in a preseason game?
Nothing. Which was kind of the root of our conversation about Kyler yesterday when we were talking about Friday's game. I mean, if the game plan is going to be so watered down, and if Kyler, you know, is going to be so vocal about, and I don't blame him, I agree with him, in fact, but if he's going to be so vocal about, yeah, I just don't see the point of preseason football, then I really, if quarterback and coach would seem to be very aligned that it's just not necessary for Kyler Murray to play in these games, then don't play him. Then don't play him because there's literally zero reward for him being out there. And even if there's a 5% risk.
Yeah, risk more than reward.
There's still more risk than reward. So there's, yeah, just don't do it. There's zero to gain by having him out there.
What's the possible reward to play him 2 series?
None. Okay, I got one.
A 15-yard drive when I shove it down your throat?
Yep. A drive to make you feel good about yourself going into your opener 2 weeks later. That's it. Now, whether that's enough, you be the judge of that. Listener, you be the judge of that. If you think that's enough to make it worth it, to make it some reward, I don't. But if you feel like they need to have some sort of a positive vibe about them, hey, you know what? That felt good. We took it down the field, like you say, 15 plays.
I don't think they need that.
We went here, we went there.
I don't think they feel they even need that.
I think you're right.
I mean, Kyler Murray, this is his third year in the league. He's not a rookie here. This is Cliff's third year in the league. Oh, guys, we had a 15-yard drive. Oh, that's going to lead us into the regular season. And we're going to, it doesn't mean anything.
You almost went, he hit the ball in the outfield there on me.
Yeah, I know.
Ooh, he hit the ball in the outfield. Yay!
What is Alex Avila batting this year?
Where is Alex
Avila? Give me an over-under on his batting average.
213. I'm not too far off.
Yeah, 233. Give him a lollipop. He's hitting 233.
I forgot.
Hit 165 and 207 for the Diamondbacks.
Wait a minute.
Get him out of here! He hit 165 for the Diamondbacks in 2018 and won 207 in 2000. His batting average with the Diamondbacks was about 185. My God! couldn't hit the ball out of the outfield.
I have him hitting 167. What are you looking at? I have him hitting 167 with the Washington Nationals.
That? Yeah,
right there. There's a baseball reference page right there.
Oh, I have his career stats.
You're looking at his career.
You're right. Alex Avila is batting 167.
Why is Alex Avila playing?
You weren't even close.
No, I wasn't.
Listen, this
I
is
I was
this
being
is,
nice by saying 213. This is
crazy. This guy gets paid. This is his last 4 years of batting averages. 165, 207, 184, 167. Let me say that again. 165, 207, 184, 167. He gets paid millions of dollars to bat 167. Unbelievable. It's amazing.
Back to our regularly scheduled
program.
Where else
could you suck so bad? Like, so bad, and people still want you? Like, honestly.
Is that a rhetorical question, or would you like me to start naming names?
I guess there's radio hosts that produce a 0.0 rating and still get to keep their job. I'm sure that there are radio hosts with zeros that still get to do a show.
Somebody go to the ice machine, and
we got to
cool that hot take off there.
That's the thing. Like, you know, actually, 167 is better than
All right, start naming names, then. Let's go.
0.0.
Yeah, hello, 0.0.
Back to our regularly scheduled program. Chandler Jones will return at some point this week, says Cliff Kingsbury.
Like I've said, some point this week he'll be back. Just don't know exactly when.
Rashard Lawrence will as well.
Same. Yeah, we'll start working him back in tomorrow, hopefully. Some limited stuff and then go from there.
Yeah, so guys are starting to come back. Chandler Jones sometime this week. Rashard Lawrence is expected back tomorrow on a limited basis. Justin Murray, Brian Winters, not sure if those guys are going to play. Here's Cliff Kingsbury on that.
Limited. But, yeah, he'll get more tomorrow, more Friday, and kind of take it from there, see how he feels.
How are you going to handle reintegrating him to that lineup? Are you just going to put him back in there? Are you going to make him earn that job back? How does that work?
We'll just continue to rep all three of those guys, Justin, Brian, and Josh, and just kind of see how it plays out over the next couple weeks.
Or have clues on start week one?
No. We want them to continue to work the next couple weeks and see where it goes.
Talking about the right guard spot.
There's plenty of time to figure it out. I mean, you're not in a rush. I mean, you got 18, 19 days before you got, I think, 19 days. You got plenty of time to get practices in, get more practices in, and see who you feel comfortable with.
Yeah, Cliff spoke about that, actually, on basically a bye week before the regular season starts.
Yeah, I mean, last year we didn't have any, you know, we played pretty well to start the season, so I'm not overly concerned with that. The bye week to start the season is going to be unique for everybody, but every NFL team's dealing with that.
Yeah, remember we were talking about, like, if Kyler doesn't play this weekend, it'll be 23 consecutive days of no football for him before he takes the field for the opener. What Cliff is basically saying, and it's a good point, is that last year there were no, you know, there wasn't any playing at all. It was just, hey, season starts, here we go, no preseason action at all. And the Cardinals did fine to start the season, so he doesn't think a week off or a long gap in between playing will impact anybody, which again leads me to believe I really don't think Kyler's playing this weekend. I would be shocked if he's playing. You're going car payment? Or did you say mortgage payment?
Car.
Car.
Car payment.
Car payment bet?
Yeah.
For you new Burns and Gambo listeners out there, we have four stages of confidence on the show. Coffee bet, lunch bet, car payment bet, mortgage payment bet. You're going car payment bet on me.
Car payment.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good bet.
Well, some car payments these days are kind of like a mortgage. It's true. It's true.
It is true. And some cars you can sleep in the back seat if you want to, you know, if you had to. Okay. Well, we'll see how that turns out. We'll see how that turns out.
Yeah. I mean, just based on that one cut you played, I don't think he's.
That one cut, I think, said it all. No. He doesn't have to play anymore. No, he's. That one cut, I think, kind of spoke and told the story. Text us your thoughts on the Cardinals roster. The FanDuel text line 620-620. It's open to you right now. Caleb Smith suspended 10 games for the use of a foreign substance in his glove. While the Diamondbacks pitcher is appealing, does Troy Lovello still believe the innocence of his player? We'll ask the manager for his weekly segment next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Your exclusive home of the D-backs.
Diamondbacks.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs manager Torrey Lovello joins Burns and Gambo to talk D-backs baseball. Presented by PNC Bank. Financial tools and tech to help make things easier.
Welcome back. It's the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. As we do every single Tuesday at 2:30, we talk with the manager of the Diamondbacks, Troy Lovello. He joins us here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good afternoon, Troy. How are you doing today?
Well, guys, how are you?
Good. Last night, a tough game for you guys with what happened in the bullpen, but a really good outing from your starter making his Diamondbacks debut. What were your impressions of Mejia last night?
Yeah, he did exactly what we wanted him to do. He, you know, pounded the zone. He walked up there composed, was able to execute a game plan. It was exactly what we heard he'd been doing in AAA and AA to start the year. And those are the things, little things that I'm looking for. I want guys to come up here in a very relaxed, confident way and be the best version of themselves. We all know that when young players come to the big leagues, they can get a little bit overwhelmed, but he certainly didn't let anything affect him. All that black noise, it was gone. He executed, had a chance to win the baseball game, and that's what stands out more than anything.
Yeah, I like that fourth inning. He gave up to back-to-back doubles. He got out of that. Pitch count got a little high. To me, it seemed he was in a full count an awful lot. He had a whole bunch of 3-2 counts, so that pitch count got up there in a hurry, so he was only able to go to five innings. But I did like him getting out of that fourth inning after the back-to-back doubles.
I agree. You know, at that point, you're thinking, all right, look, it's a close ball game, and we want to try and get him through five, get him a chance to win the baseball game. But, you know, we were going to monitor him very closely. And once again, he just stood back and composed himself and started shaping pitches, making pitches, and did a really nice job. The thing also that stands out to me, I had a funny feeling that he knew it was going to be his last batter in the fifth inning with a lefty on deck and a little bit of traffic potentially getting on the bases. That, to me, was one of his best batters. It was a way for me to gauge what was inside of him.
Yeah, the flyout. That was the flyout, right, to end the inning?
Correct. I think it was the Stallings flyout, if I'm not mistaken. And those were some of the best pitches that he threw of the day, and that stands out to me as well.
You know, the biggest thing, if you know, we'd make a lot of money, Torrey, if we could figure out what's going on in the seventh and eighth inning. You guys have allowed 204 runs in the seventh and eighth innings. That is the most by far in Major League Baseball. Those innings have proved brutal for you guys. You've had a hard time finding the right guys that could come in and get you out of those crucial innings.
Yeah, you're nailing it. The seventh and eighth inning are the handoff innings. You want to hand it off to the next guy and eventually to the closer with the same type of lead and keep the game in that same situation. And everybody's anticipating that to happen, and when it doesn't, it's a little bit frustrating. And last night we got to be better. There's no doubt about it. Our guys on the back end, they've been doing it, and you can tell when we do it right, we get on a nice little run. And I think you know, we've had a couple of those guys that didn't get it done last night, do it at a very high level, but something just was off yesterday. Whether it was mechanically, whether it was fatigue, I'm not sure. But we're going to drill down to that today. Get them out there, work with them, talk to them, teach them, and make sure they're ready for the next challenge. But that's where we got to have some anchors. We got to have some guys in that situation that are going to hand it off to Clip on the very back end and preserve that lead. At 5-1, we got to win that baseball game, no doubt about it. And I've said this many times. to get to where we're going to. We got to expect to win those games. We got to execute at a high level, which we did not do defensively as well. And those are things we got to concentrate on right now.
Torrey Lovello, manager of the Diamondbacks, our guest here on the Burns and Gambo Show. His weekly visit with us every Tuesday at 2:30. D-backs and the Pirates coming up about 4 o'clock this afternoon or so. The news that broke just before we went on the air, Caleb Smith gets a 10-game suspension for violating the foreign substance rule last week. It was upheld after the examination of his equipment, his glove. But from what I understand, he's appealing that decision now. So from what you understand, how long do you think that process will take, and how long do you still have Caleb Smith available to you before you might lose him to this 10-game suspension? Do you know for sure yet?
This is the first time I'm talking about it publicly. This information is just crossing my plate as well in the past hour. So we don't know a lot of those details. I wish I could hammer down all the timelines and what's going to be happening and what the next steps are. I do know this much, that you're right. He has been handed a 10-game suspension, and Caleb's going to appeal it. I had a conversation with him a couple minutes ago, and he expressed his desire to appeal it. And I'm going to stand by him. I've been saying that from the very beginning. He's a very open, honest, upstanding guy. And if he was cheating, he would tell people he was cheating. He'd be the first one to admit guilt. But he is dug in and standing by the idea that he was just doing things normally, as he usually does. And his appeal, hopefully he'll be able to get his word out.
If the appeal, does not go over, and he's still suspended those 10 games, you're not allowed to replace him on the roster. That's part of the kind of overall overreaching punishment here. How challenging does that become for you when you have to lose a guy and you're not allowed to replace him?
Yeah, that's what we outlined with these guys. Look, if you're suspended and in this case, assuming based on your question that he would be, we're playing a man down. And I think that's probably the part that would hit the player the most, is that, you know, leaving your teammates isolated out there. And that's why I know that none of our guys are cheating. I think we have a good team of guys, a bunch of players that like being around one another and are fighting together, especially during these very turbulent times. So I feel like, you know, playing a man down hurts the team, and therefore is always kind of in the forefront of somebody's mind that is thinking about crossing that line. So we will get it done. Whatever ruling comes out, we will get it done. We'll find a way. We always do.
Skip, I know you're saying that, right? None of the guys are cheating, but one of you guys just got a 10-game suspension, and they upheld the suspension. The Major League Baseball Senior Vice President for On-Field Operations made the announcement. He suspended for 10 games for what they said was a foreign substance on his glove. I mean, I heard him. He sounded very convincing after the game, and I wanted to believe him. And I said, I do believe him at the time. I really do believe him. But, I mean, what are we saying now? Are we saying Major League Baseball got it wrong?
No, I'm not going to say Major League Baseball got it wrong. I just want to say that it's still under investigation, and this appeal process, will hopefully get some facts out on the table and clear things up. And, you know, you're right, Gambo. Look, it is what it is. The facts are the facts. They reviewed the glove, and they determined that there was a foreign substance on it. That there's no denying that. But there's so much gray area in this new rule that it might leave us a little bit confused in certain areas at certain times with certain things that are happening, natural things that are happening during the course of the game. You can see what Caleb does. You know, he definitely picks up the rosin bag before he throws his first pitch, and he gets it in all the places that he's allowed to get it, you know, on his wrists. And then he goes to work. And this is, you know, just a situation where there was a couple spots that were found on his glove that were shown to be suspicious, and that's what I'm going to take it as right now. And I know he's going to appeal and put together the best appeal process that he possibly can, and hopefully we get better news than this current 10 game suspension.
So as far as you know, and what you've been told by him, it's just sweat and rosin that was on the baseball glove.
Well, I just know that he picks up the rosin bag and picks up dirt in between pitches. Yes, there was nothing malicious, and I believe him. And you know, I asked to see his hand. You know, I'm on a at the time that we got back in the dugout, I pulled him aside, and I'm on an information search there at the same time, just like everybody else. I want to find out what the heck is going on. And I said, let me see your hands. And I looked at his hands, and they were as dry and as natural as any hand that I've ever seen. So I believe him. And that's what I'm going
to
stand by.
All right, last one on this for me, and then we'll move on. Have you gotten any indication from Major League Baseball of what they said the foreign substance was?
I have not. I'm not sure what that process is. I think they're going to review it. I do know that that the umpire in this situation, his opinion carries a heavy load, and we're going to obviously be able to talk about some of the things that Caleb has been sharing with us, and I think he's going to put that down, and that'll be part of his appeal. But no, I have not heard anything about what that substance was, if it was traced or if it was tested. I don't know any of that information.
Troy Lovello, we're wrapping things up with the manager here. Leave us on a good note with what you saw out of Zach Gallen over the weekend. That was obviously a much-needed one against Colorado, given his struggles as of late. That had to be real encouraging for you and for him.
Yeah, it was. It was well-thrown pitches that landed in the right spot. I know the first inning was a little bit of a hiccup, but he corrected himself and made, an inch-and-a-half, two-inch adjustment, and was just pounding the zone with every pitch thrown in the right place. And some of the information that we get afterwards, the success rate of all of his pitches was probably at a season high for him. So very, very good start for him. It's, about getting on his stuff and landing pitches, getting that swing and miss, not having counts get extended. He did a really nice job and pitched through those seven innings. I was tempted to send him back out there for the eighth, but with everything that he's been through, I thought it was the right time to pull the plug on him and maneuver in the bullpen.
All right, Torrey, we appreciate the time as always. Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Skip.
Okay, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
That is Torrey Lovello joining us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter Cadillac Tempe. Experience the difference at CoulterCadillacTempe.com. When we come back, Josh Rosen, now officially part of NFL team number 5, but his new job in Atlanta could actually be the perfect fit for the quarterback, at least for now. We'll tell you why next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah's here with us. Yesterday's Twitter poll question of the day, something we haven't quite gotten into yet, but we will, and it deals with the Pac-12, Big Ten, ACC alliance and some news that kind of came out of that alliance today. What do you have for us?
Yes. So after the 47-minute press conference announcing this three-conference alliance, George Kliavkov, the Pac-12 commissioner, told The Athletic that, by the end of this week, we'll tell you if we're going to expand or not.
Ooh.
A little aside.
Yeah.
So we're asking, of these four schools, of course there are many, many that you could pick from, but we can only drop in four, which school do you think would be the best addition to the Pac-12 and why? Here are the four schools.
Okay.
Baylor, Kansas, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma's already spoken for, or BYU.
Nobody's going to agree with me.
Well, why?
Kansas.
Okay.
Give me the Jayhawks in basketball. Give me a powerhouse basketball. Let's make it the conference of champions. Let's get Kansas in here.
Okay, but Baylor's good at basketball. They just won a natty.
They're good. Kansas is a perennial powerhouse in basketball. History, tradition, everything.
Okay.
I mean, none of them are going to help that much in football, so I might as well take the best in basketball.
Okay, unlike yesterday, you did not change my mind with your answer.
Okay.
You presented a compelling argument. I just don't think college basketball has that much to do with it.
Unfortunately.
I'm going to go – unfortunately.
I love college.
No judgment there. I just don't think it has that much to do with it. Of those four schools, I'm going to go with Baylor. I think given their success – on the field, it's not the best TV market. I think they're what, like an hour from Dallas.
It's
TCU might be the sexier play because they're actually in Dallas-Fort Worth. But of those four, I will say Baylor. What does our audience say?
For the record, it's an hour and a half.
Hour and a half
out
okay.
of Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah, they're their own TV market. BYU is the winner right now. 39% of the vote.
I knew they would be.
Yeah.
Like, you just
There's
knew they
would
be. There's
a big BYU base out here, and I know that's been a push in the fan base for quite some time to no avail. 26% going with Baylor. 22% going with Oklahoma State. Gambo, only 13% voted for Kansas.
Give me the basketball powerhouse, man. Do you really think that, like I'll take... I'm not against BYU coming in either.
Yeah.
I like BYU, but I...
Couple,
man, Kansas basketball?
Yeah. Couple people responded for the record. Sorry. TCU and San Diego State probably getting the most write-in votes for the record.
I feel like if they were going to do that, they would have done it by now.
Oh, yeah.
If
SDSU
they were
going to
do
happened.
San Diego State, they would have happened by now. BYU would have happened by now if it was going to happen. So, all right, that's the poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. That's at Burns and Gambo, one word on social media. Yes. If you go looking for that, please follow us while you're there. It's a great way to interact with the show and talk directly with Sarah, because everybody wants to talk to Sarah. Josh Rosen.
Josh Rosen.
That's a sardonic laugh there. Man, Josh Rosen.
He's like that Gloria Gaynor song, I Will Survive.
Yeah.
I will survive.
As long as I know how to love, I'll always be alive, or however the line
goes.
Whatever
the line is, he's a survivor.
Didn't take him long. His fifth team, this time it's the Atlanta Falcons, and it took an injury for it to happen. A.J. McCarron tore his ACL Saturday against the Dolphins, and their scheduled backup is now out for the year. So they added Josh Rosen today. Their head coach, Arthur Smith, was quoted in the story basically saying, hey, look, just because we added Josh Rosen doesn't mean we're done. Quote, it doesn't mean if we add someone this week, it doesn't mean that we may not add another person next week. Close quote. Translation, don't get too comfy, Josh. We might still be looking for a guy.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, talks about, Smith's knowledge of some of these other players. Says if Tennessee keeps Matt Barkley in favor of Logan Woodside, he could become a candidate to reunite with Smith. Saints quarterback Trevor Siemian, if he's cut, also could be reunited with Smith. Siemian spent time with the Titans in 2020 when Smith was the offensive coordinator. So there are some names out there that might, force Josh Rosen to have a short-lived time in Atlanta. But in the meantime, with A.J. McCarron out, he's out for the year with that ACL injury that he suffered on Saturday. They needed a veteran quarterback out there. Josh Rosen is a veteran quarterback. He's been in the league enough. He's played enough games and thrown enough passes to where he's a veteran right now. And, even the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, the Falcons will be his fifth team and likely his last stop on the NFL train. I don't know about that. This guy is just like, he keeps finding opportunities somewhere.
Doesn't Matt Barkley probably think every stop is his last stop?
Probably.
And yet he still gets signed because you need a camp body. And who knows with Josh Rosen, he might be more than a camp body. You brought up names of guys that might become available depending on how cuts go. The only guy who's there right now with the A.J. McCarron injury, and I'm going to cop to this. I had to look him up because I couldn't remember where he went to school. Felipe Franks, you remember where he went to school? He's the only other quarterback on the roster right now for the Falcons other than Josh Rosen and Matt Ryan. Do you remember where Felipe Franks went to school?
Give me a hint.
SEC. I don't even remember the kid playing. I'll just say it. Arkansas. He went to Arkansas. Oh. I don't remember. Cliff Kingsbury today was asked about
the Hawks.
Yeah, Cliff Kingsbury was asked about Rosen today. And remember, Cliff was his coach briefly before the drafting of Kyler Murray and the trade of Josh Rosen. He thinks Josh just needs the right situation.
Position is, a lot of it's based on situation. As we know, he's obviously talented, very smart. And if he gets in the right situation, after being around him just for a month or so, he could take full advantage of it. But you got to land in the right situation.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if the right situation was going to happen for Josh,
I talked to him once in
now.
My whole life. If he's in the right situation, doesn't know him. He was on his way out when he got here. He's been in bad situations. Like, he hasn't really been in a... Arizona was a bad situation for him. Miami was a bad situation for him. And then it was, Tampa Bay practice squad, San Francisco backup. And, now he's probably going to play in this next preseason game. And his status there may very well depend on if he plays well or not in that game.
Yeah, it might. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, it's been hanging over his head for a while now. He's entering year three with the Cardinals, and there's pressure, there are expectations. Is it a simple equation, playoffs or bust for Cliff? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo show.
D-backs president.